Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, one fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites Jeshua and Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Kenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, and Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou art Lord alone, and hast made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showedst signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went out through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them thy precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promisest them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing, their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so they possessed the land of Sihon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multiplied thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou hadst promised to their fathers, that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduedst before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and oliveyards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliveredst them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them, and in time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testifiedst against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew their shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiedst against them by thy Spirit in the prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them to the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee, that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us. For thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies, wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Behold, we are thy servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it, and it yieldeth much increase unto the kings over whom thou hast set whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. So they have dominion over our bodies and are over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. What is most impressive about this passage is the familiarity that the priests and the Levites and the people have with their history as a nation before the Lord. And so, just like Stephen in Acts chapter 7 begins his defense and goes forth with a complete history of the children of Israel up to his day, so also we see here in this public confession of sin led by the priests and the Levites and so on, that we have this same kind of recounting of the trouble of Israel. Surely, brothers and sisters, the history of redemption, the history of the people of God, is a troubled history. When we recount our history, what is it that we recount? Do we recount our utter faithfulness or our failure? Do we recount how good we have been, or do we recount how merciful God has been? Of course, to ask the question, is to answer it. We recount in the history of redemption not our goodness, not the great progress in holiness that we make. We recount the great mercy of God because we make, admittedly, and to our shame, so very little progress. And we have progressed, indeed, we might say, far beyond. In these days of the New Testament, we might say that we have progressed in knowledge beyond our fathers, that we have progressed in knowledge beyond even the ignorance that characterized perhaps the Middle Ages. We have progressed far beyond those days. And yet, brothers and sisters, when you look around, do you not see, as I see, a new day of ignorance? Do we not see a new potential in our day for the Lord to turn His face away from that which is called the visible church in order that she be ruled by shepherds who will lead her into not the green and lush pastures of the knowledge of God, but into some other areas which cannot satisfy and cannot nourish? So when we recount in Nehemiah chapter 9 the confession of sin and the confessions of repentance that we find here in Nehemiah chapter 9, does this not also apply to us in our day? And should not also we as a people be a people that know how to confess our sins, the sins of our past, the sins of the present, the ignorance, forgetfulness that we ourselves exhibit so very often? When I read Nehemiah chapter 9, it is indeed an interesting point in the history of the children of Israel, where the Lord had brought them thus far. And so He had brought them to a place where they understood their need for repentance. The trials, the difficulties, the breaking down of the walls and the building them back up under stress and under threat of war and all of those things. It looks like the Lord has brought them and they are taking their toll upon the children of Israel so that they remember their sinfulness and they remember confession and they remember repentance and they remember that they are in the strait that they are in because of their own unfaithfulness and the unfaithfulness of their fathers before them. Let us not take a look at the estate of the church today and say, well, it's because of them back there. Let us reckon our own inability today, our own failures today, the failure to pray for our nation, the failure to pray for the church, the failure to speak in the gates and to press our own callings, and let us take our share of the responsibilities that fall to us as the people of God. And let us repent. Let us redouble our efforts. Let us turn to the Lord and ask Him for obedience and ask Him for a mind to for reform, not only of our own lives but of our friends and our fellow members in the church and of our society. And let us take responsibility for what one theologian has called our guilty silence. So we have then the covenant that is made at the end of this passage, the vows that are taken pertaining to this reformation that is taking place here in the days of Nehemiah. And we saw the same in Ezra, didn't we? And so we pray that the vows that we have taken, those vows of church membership, that we might bring those things to mind often, that they might refresh us in our duties, that they might refresh us in our duty to be the Lord's people, to call upon His name, to behave ourselves as those who have confessed King Jesus over ourselves. And so as we have had others perhaps that reign upon us, that reign over us, as we hear toward the end of this passage, I was speaking with a man in Missouri, and we were talking about our homes, and I told him that that we knew some folks and that we ourselves had been blessed with the opportunity to have our homes paid off. And he said, yeah, all except for the king's rent, right? It's very interesting. He called our property taxes the king's rent. It's interesting to think about, and yet, why are we at such a place in our society today? I mean, that's a very, very small thing to think about, but to think about those kinds of things that others have exerted their authority over us, and the Lord has deemed it so in His providence that under the oppression of others we might cry and groan out unto Him, even in our day, confessing our own sins, confessing our own lack, confessing that we have indeed on our watch not been that kind of people that we ought to be. So Nehemiah chapter 9 then reminds us of the great mercy of God throughout the history of the children of Israel, that He did not break them off from being His people, even though they had sinned against Him time after time. What a great and merciful God we have, that even in times of oppression, we might turn unto Him in repentance and acknowledge that it is in that oppression that we are called to repent. Let's stand and continue praising God then in the